So, as I was saying, I thought, my goodness, what is ABBA, an intellectual, a bookworm, going to do with this man who was unschooled? I couldn't, they went down to the basement together, and I couldn't pull ABBA out of there. This man was interested in photography. Well, that's all ABBA had to hear. So they had plenty to talk about. And so it was through the marriage that I saw Sadie. But of course, I went on to school, and she didn't. She wasn't interested in studies at all. So after a while, we were always good friends and in touch, but we didn't see one another that much. So ABBA really got me interested in the seminary. It was 5 wonderful years. I became very involved with learning Hebrew, teaching Hebrew, and as a freshman at the seminary, I got a job teaching Sunday school. I lived in Brooklyn, and I got a job at Rockville Center. We had to take the Long Island Railroad and make trains for $5 a Sunday. And this was a long, long time ago, when $5, with that $5, I paid my car fare to the seminary. That was 10 cents a day. My car fare to Brooklyn College, that was 10 cents three times a week. I bought my shoes, my stockings, my clothes, everything. Because for $3 you could get a lovely dress. At least it was lovely to me. So that was wonderful, that I could earn $5 a week for teaching Sunday school. I was going to tell you, when we moved away from Chester Street, my parents bought a house in East Flatbush. I thought it was the greatest palace that I'd ever seen in my life. It was a modern house. The bathroom was tiled in purple, and the floor was purple tiled. It was just beautiful. And I was so happy to be living in such a lovely house. And I was 14, I think, when we moved to this house. Now, Jack was married about then, and he and his first wife, Chaya, was a lovely, lovely woman, lovely person, lived with us in this lovely house. And we didn't know how to appreciate somebody like that. My parents were in Boston. My parents and Sarah and Matilda. My father had some kind of a job, something in Boston. So Saul and Julius and I were living in this house, and it had a rental upstairs, and we had the apartment downstairs. And later, Saul started a Hebrew school in the basement. And he made a living from that. The house really served us very well. And when I first met ABBA, I was very proud to have him walk me back home to this beautiful house. I love the house. And I was a show merit, but was in a labor Zionist group. Jack got me into that because he was there. That's where he met Chaya. And I was happy to invite my group to have a meeting at my house, because for the first time I was proud of my house, how it looked. And Chaya kept everything beautiful. Of course, we were too stupid to know to appreciate her. And she was working very, very hard, making meals for us, cleaning after us. It was terrible. It was the wrong thing. It was the wrong thing to do. And then Jack's marriage didn't survive. And I think the reason it didn't survive was that it was, a young couple. You shouldn't bring your bride to take care of your sisters and brothers. It was very unfair. We were too young and too inexperienced to know how to appreciate her or how to help her. In the summer, I would go to Boston to my parents and spend the summer there. And ABBA came with me. And he stayed a day or two and went back again. When he went back, the next day he came back again to Boston. Somebody was going from the seminary, was going to Boston and offered him a ride. So he took the ride and came back. My father was very impressed with that. Before that, my father tried to marry me off to one of his students. And this young man came to the house, and Matilda, Sarah, and I just laughed at his face. We had no idea of having anything to do with this young man. But a very interesting thing happened about 52 years later, very recently, about 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, I received a letter from this man, and in it he enclosed a letter that I have written to him in Yiddish. And if it weren't my handwriting, I would never believe that I wrote that letter. I wrote to tell him that my father had died. I thought that was a courteous thing to do. But it was very funny that I should hear from him so many years later. He still lives in Boston. And he was bothering Julius my brother Julius lives in Boston. He should give him my address until finally he gave it to him. And he wrote me this letter. What he wanted were pictures of my father. He was writing a book, and he wanted my father included in the book. Of course, I didn't have, the only one who had pictures of my father was Jack. And I don't even know if Jack was living. Jack wasn't even living anymore. When I was going to high school, we were living in 94th Street, and that's this beautiful house that I was so proud of. And I went to Tilton High School, and I told you about my two friends I had at that time, both Sonnies. I was very fond of both of them. And of course, Abba was my best friend. When we first came to America and I was going to Hebrew school, there was a long walk from my house to the Hebrew school. I would say about 10, 15 big blocks. And I walked every single day. Nobody noticed whether I don't even think I had boots, the snow and the rain. I always walked there. And there was a lady on the way to school who was sitting out there. I think she was selling apples. And she asked me, would I go into the candy store and bring her a hot cup of coffee? So every day when I was going on my way to Hebrew school, I brought her a hot cup of coffee, but she paid for it. I didn't have a nickel. In those days it was a nickel. And one day, a man who had a store next door or something said to me, little girl, I don't know who you are, and I don't know who your parents are, but I can assure you this lady has more money than your parents have. So you don't have to knock yourself out and get coffee for her. She can go get it herself. So I came home and told my mother that. And my mother said, Amala, bring her the coffee. My mother was very good-natured. She was a very good person. In her older years, the way Adina remembers her, or any of my children, she was not functioning anymore. And America wasn't good for her. She never learned English. And when the children got older, and she didn't have that much to do around us in the house, she used to go to shul every single day. And she had some friends there. She and a couple other women would go, and though shul was something to do. And she could daven. Her education was to learn to daven, to pray. She could read Yiddish, and she could daven, she could pray in Hebrew. So she became friends with these ladies, and any time one of the ladies didn't come to shul, my mother would go to visit her, that she knew she was sick. And if my mother didn't come to shul, then these ladies would come to visit my mother. But after a while, the ladies didn't come to shul, my mother didn't come. They were too old and sick to do anything. My mother lived, and when I was married, I moved into Abba's house on Dumont Avenue. He was living there with his father. There was nobody else there. Irving was married to Yetta. And Sam didn't live at home. He had a sponsor who stayed there most of the time. He'd come every now and then. So I moved into Abba's house. It was a very modest four-room apartment, and we lived there for about 5 years until we went to Kansas City when Abba graduated from the Jewish Institute of Religion and took his first rabbinic job in Kansas City. Michael was 3.5 years old, and Aliza was just born. In fact, she wasn't born yet. I was expecting her when Abba accepted the position, and I waited in Brooklyn until Aliza was born, and I was ready to travel before we moved to Kansas City. Kansas City was not a very happy place for us. This rabbi there, Rabbi Hattis, and his wife, I call them two gangsters. They promised Abba everything. They promised Stephen Wise that Abba would have this and that and that and this. And when we came there, he had nothing. And he worked very hard, and I worked hard. I had a little baby, and of course Saba came with us too. I had a little baby, and I was teaching 2 hours every day without pay. My contribution. And I was a professional teacher. And it was terrible. I felt compelled somehow to go to shul every Shabbos and every Friday night. And you know, I had two little children to take care of. And I didn't have any maids. Saba was very helpful to me. Saba was wonderful. When I remember when we lived in Brooklyn, Michael was a little baby, little boy, or even before Michael was born. We were married 2 years before Michael was born. Saba would get up early in the morning, he'd make coffee, and he'd make French toast, latkes, pancakes, all kinds of things. It was just wonderful. But of course, it was a terrible depression, and Saba was a presser. He lost his job, and again, we were very poor. Before Abba went to Kansas City, he was principal of a Hebrew school. We were married when he earned $35 a week. That was considered a lot of money. And our rent was $34 or $35. So that was just fine. And I was, when we were married, I was teaching every day for 2 hours for $10 a week. So between 35 and 10 or 45 hours, that was very good then. So, you know, we lived very, very modestly, but we could manage. We took care of all our bills. We had no bills. Of course, we had no car. We had no telephone. If friends wanted to call us, they called at the landlady's house upstairs. And she would go, Clickfeld. And it was really an imposition. And when we wanted to make a call, we went out to the candy store. We couldn't afford a telephone. That was a luxury. When we were first married, I was going to school. I was in the middle of my seminary courses. I was going to Brooklyn College at night and teaching in the afternoon. And I don't know how I ever managed to have a meal. Of course, I think most of the time Saba would make a meal for us. But Friday, I remember I used to buy two little chickens and make soup. And we'd eat one chicken Friday night and one chicken Shabbos morning. Sometimes Sam would come, and he always came starving. And I had this chicken for us, for the whole family, for lunch. He didn't eat the soup. He just ate the chicken. He didn't ask anybody any questions, so we had nothing to eat. But of course, we never told him. That's just a It's an aside story. At first, Yetta moved in with Saba. She lived there for about a year. But at that time, they didn't get along well at all. Yetta said to Saba, Saba was a very nice man. He was very pleasant, very helpful, immaculately clean, but he was a very lonely man, and he loved young people. So when Yetta's friends would come, he would sit down in the middle. He wrote poetry. Abba got him to write poetry. I'll tell you about that soon. And he would take over the conversation. So one day she said to him, look, when somebody comes to see me, you don't come in. When somebody comes to see you, I won't come in. And that's the worst thing she could have told him. He was very sensitive anyway. He was so hurt. Anyway, she lived there for about a year and she moved out. That's when I moved in. And Saba was delighted to have me. It was kind of the lonely two men. And Saba was very good to Abba when he was going to the seminary. Abba had nothing. Saba would give him car fare. Whatever he could, he'd bring into the house. I remember one summer, Irving was a musician. And he got a job in the summertime. I know Danny Kaye was there up in the mountains. And that, to us, he was in the money. So he came home once, and Abba was his kid brother, and he asked him for some money, and he threw 50 cents on the table with contempt, you know. Well, listen, he was only a brother, and he was a kid himself. Saba loved me, but this honeymoon didn't last either, because, as I said, he was a wonderful, warm, delightful person, but he was very lonely. And at first it was a pleasure to talk to him, to listen to his stories. After about a year or two, it got on my nerves, and I couldn't take it. And he did the same with me. If anybody came to my house, he would sit, bring out the poetry that he wrote Yiddish poetry, and just take over and start reading to them. They weren't interested in listening, but they were polite. Anybody that came to me, he was involved with 100%. And they didn't like it. I remember Matilda didn't like it. And I remember inviting my friend Hope once to the house, and she said, not if their father-in-law's there. I mean, they just didn't want to have anything to do with an old man who wanted to be part of everything. And after a while, I couldn't take it either. I just couldn't take it, because he would tell me all kinds of personal things about himself. And he wanted to know all kinds of personal things about me. And as I say, there was no privacy with him at all. He'd come into the bedroom at any hour. It was, that was probably his biggest failing, that he was too needy for company. He had no friends of his own. He didn't want friends his own age. He only wanted us and our friends. Well, our friends weren't so always happy for his company. And we became very sensitive about that. People came to the house, they came to see us. So that was a real problem, because he was very touchy, very sensitive. And if he didn't have us, he didn't have anybody. Hannah, when she came into the family, that was Sam's first wife, and I'll tell you about her in a little while. When she first came into the family, she wanted to introduce him to women his own age. Well, he was so insulted. He said that, am I bothering you? He didn't want to meet women his own age. He had such a difficult time with his wife. I guess that was the reason that he never wanted to marry again. And he never wanted to get involved. He didn't like people his own age. He only liked young people. Well, that's very nice if you can have young people around you. I want to tell you about Hannah. Moshe Davis, who had something to do with Abba, my marriage, also in a way had something to do with Chana and Sam's marriage. Moshe Davis was coming to our house. I think it was a holiday. And Chana was up at the seminary someplace where she met him. She said she wanted to come too. Maybe it was Hanukkah. So she came to the house and she met Sam, and she fell head over heels in love with Sam. And Sam was going with altogether different types of women from Chana. Chana was a very nice person and turned out to be a wonderful wife for him, but she was not, she didn't have the figure or the face, anything like the girls he was dating. So Chana, the girls always fell in love with Sam, and she did too, but nobody got him except she. She faked it in such a way. She had a project, a singing. She was a singer, and Sam was a singer. So she made, there was some kind of project where they were singing together. So already she had the contact. But it would never occur to him to date her. Well, when they were preparing material for singing, she had her girlfriends call and ask her for a date, so to speak, you know, camouflage it. And don't you know, he fell for it. Sam fell for it. And he invited her to go out. So they started going out. And one day he asked me, do I think that Chana is right for him? And I frankly didn't think so. So I told him that I didn't think so. So they went on together. And he told this to Chana. And she was very angry with me. She said, I tried to spoil the shidduch, which was very was unfortunate. He had no business, since he asked me. He should not have repeated it, but he did. And it turned out that they were very, very happy together. She made a wonderful wife for him, unfortunately. And she was a very good mother to Aviva and Marnin. Unfortunately, she took very ill, and she died when Aviva, I think, was 7, and Marnin was 5. She was a very strong person and not always easy to take. Irving and Yetta didn't like her at all. At the beginning of their marriage, they wanted to have nothing to do with her. And I had problems with her in that Sam went off to war, to the war. And Abba and I and Saba and little Michael were living in this small apartment. And she moved in with us. We didn't invite her. We weren't in love with her. But these were very difficult times, the war. And she moved in with us. And actually, we didn't have room for her. And we really didn't want her. None of us. Saba didn't want her. None of us wanted her. She came from Cleveland. She had a mother and a whole family in Cleveland. And we felt she should go back to Cleveland because she was staying with us temporarily, she said, until she found an apartment. Well, it took her months to find an apartment. And she had the different, we were all early risers. She was a very late riser. So it just didn't work out at all. But finally she found an apartment, and thank God Sam came home from the war, and everything was good with them. She got him involved in Jewish music. He was a singer who had no job. He was working at the 5 and 10 cent store for $15 a week or something. Of course, getting jobs then was the heart of the Depression. But she got him involved with being a cantor. And they finally made a living. And they were very happy together. It just was too bad that she took so sick and she died. Well, that's enough for now. It's almost 9 o'clock at night. And maybe tomorrow I'll think of other things. So long, everybody.